Radhanath Maharaj is a member of the ISKCON's governing body that oversees our temples all over the world. He is a initiating guru. He has disciples in practically every corner of the world. I was saying this morning, I think the only place he doesn't have disciples is Antarctica, and there may be someone there that we don't know about. Maharaj, I think, was born in Chicago, but certainly grew up in Chicago. And although from a very good family, bright material future, he set out for India. And as I believe, you were traveled across Europe, across Pakistan. I remember it's an amazing story. He was sitting at the Pakistani border, and they wouldn't let him across. Anyway, Maharaj was determined. He waited them out. They waited him out. Finally, the guards became so charmed by Maharaj's nature, even in those days, they let him across the border with no paperwork, so many things. And Maharaj was literally living in the Himalayas, visiting different places of pilgrimage, visiting so many yogis and rishis. It's a modern-day autobiography of a real yogi, his travels all over India. At one point in time, he was in a... I'd have all the details of the chronology correct. But at one point in time, he was sitting in the audience when Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Bombay. And, of course, even then he was saintly, but now he's an effulgent sannyasi. But then he had the long hair of a rishi or a yogi. And Srila Prabhupada, although there's thousands of people in the crowd, looked out and told the devotees, bring him on stage. And the devotees went out, selected Radhanath Maharaj, and Prabhupada indicated he should sit on the stage by him. So even from a very initial encounter, Srila Prabhupada marked this was a special personality. Sometimes it's said that just like you have what sleeper cells and Al-Qaeda, and they plant their spies somewhere, and then, you know, many years later they come out and do their business. It's also described that Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's Yuga avatar, and Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj placed great souls all over the planet as to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Great souls. We accept that Radhanath Maharaj, there's no doubt about it, a great saintly Vaishnava, many, many lifetimes. And Prabhupada has placed him just to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So whether he was appearing in Chicago or whatever it may have been, he was simply waiting to come out and serve Srila Prabhupada and spread the Hare Krishna movement, spiritual teachings all over the world. So we are very fortunate. Radhanath Maharaj, sometimes in Bombay, I should mention, the Chaupati temple, as I was saying the other day, and I'm almost done because I'm sure I don't want to say too much. I just want you to appreciate proper setting so you'll appreciate the jewel. The Radhanath Maharaj went there, I don't know how many years ago. They had one room in the Tinkerbell Girls High School, isn't it? And that's how they started in Bombay. And gradually, by his preaching, they now have, how many people for the Sunday feast? 2,000? 3,000? Attending it? Huh? 2,000. Oh, I'm sorry. I was off. So 2,000 people coming. They do yatras, traveling all over India, thousands of people participating. Bhaktivedanta Hospital is there. They've done eye camps all over India. So for so many different ways, all of this is inspired by Radhanath Maharaj. So we are very fortunate to have him with us tonight. Thank you very much for coming, Maharaj.
No, we do not do like this.
We need your blessings.
There's no chance.
We need your blessings, please.
Mataji, please.
We need.
Hare Krishna. My very sincere gratitude to all assembled devotees. It is a very great pleasure and fortune for me to have the opportunity to be with you in this most auspicious home of the Kurvadi family. I hope everyone has seen their beautiful deities. In this room, such a wonderful example of very sincere service to Lord Krishna as the very central focus of our home. Trivida Prabhu was going to give me a topic tonight. No, no. If you bring a computer, I will become disoriented. Just cast your merciful glance upon me. Today is an auspicious day in our Vaishnav calendar. It is the disappearance day of Srila Saranga Thakur. Would you like to hear something about this very divine personality? Srila Saranga Thakur was a very intimate and dear associate of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the avatar of Sri Krishna in this age of Kali Yuga, who has descended to spread mercy that has never ever been seen before. All other incarnations were not so benevolent, magnanimous, and merciful as Lord Chaitanya. Narasingha Dev, Varaha Dev, Sri Ramchandra, and even the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They slayed demons with claws, Hiranyakashipu, or arrow for Ravana, Kumbhakarna, or chakra for Shishupal. But in the age of Kali, the Lord comes with His most powerful of all weapons, His own holy name. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaranena kala. All the power, all the sweetness, all the opulence of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is within the name. Nama chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigra. The name of the Lord is identical with the Lord. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. In fact, in the age of Kali Yuga, Krishna descends, incarnates within the sound of the name. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he broadcasted a message that was extraordinary. He gave this world a benediction that anyone who sincerely, attentively, with humility chants the holy name, the name will cleanse their heart and awaken the crest jewel of all pleasures, pure unalloyed love of God, the ultimate wealth. Throughout the world, we see many common factors, whatever the society may be in its, wherever it may be. People are looking for pleasure. It is the constitutional nature of the soul to seek pleasure. Vedanta Sutra tells, Anandamayo Bhyashat, that every living entity is pleasure seeking. Why? Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Because every living entity is a spark of God. God is compared to the sun, and every living being is like one ray of that sun. Qualitatively, one, but quantitatively, always subordinate, an infinitesimal particle of the sun. What is Krishna's quality? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Sarva Karanakarana. Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. That is our nature, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But that nature can only be realized and experienced when we are in contact with our source, with our origin, with Krishna. Since time immemorial, when the soul enters into this material atmosphere, the tendency is we forget our true self. We forget our relationship with God. And then, janasya mohogya mahamameti. The very core, basic principles of illusion, bondage, and suffering is we're thinking, I am this body, and the designations of the body. I am man, I am woman. I am old or young. I am black or yellow or white or red. I am American or Indian or Russian or Arabian or African. I am young or old. I have my caste. I have my family. I have my name. These are all upadis. They are all temporary designations. And when we come under this ahankar, this false ego, then we think whatever is in relationship to my designated body, it is mine. And this is the root cause of all conflict in this world. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokameshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichchati. People have been talking about peace from the beginning of time, but yet there's always wars. Has there ever been a time in this world when there's not wars? At least not in our modern history. In this little country of the United States of America, it's only about 200 years old, yes? There was the Revolutionary War. There was the Spanish-American War. There was the American-Indian and white man war. There was the French and British wars. Then there was a Civil War. Then there was World War I. Then there was the war that ends all wars, World War II. And right after that, there was a Korean War. Then there was a Cold War. Then there was a Vietnam War. Then there was a Gulf War. Then an Afghani War. The country's only 200 years old. These are all major wars. And we're talking about peace. We have real nice computers and satellite TVs. But are we finding real peace? There's conflict. One, when I was doing college preaching in America, Ohio, one professor told me, he was an economics professor. He was teaching for 13 years at that time. He said, Swamiji, should I tell you the whole science of economics in one or two sentences? I said, please. He said, every person has unlimited desires to enjoy. Therefore, every person needs unlimited resources to enjoy. And in this world, there's only limited resources. So that poses a big problem, which is economics. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? People want wealth. Why? Why do people want wealth? Because wealth presents facilities for pleasure. Facilities to avoid pain. Pain means the disturbance of pleasure. We're all pleasure seeking. Krishna descends into this world again and again and again to teach us what is the real wealth that will bring the real pleasure that the heart is searching for. The pleasures of the body are temporary. They don't satisfy the heart. The pleasures of the mind are always fleeting. They really don't even touch the heart. The real pleasure that everyone is seeking is love. Is that not true? Everyone is searching for the pleasure of love. Looking for it between man and woman. This is the traditional way. But how many songs are there? Yesterday I was talking to Zoe. Yes? About all the songs about broken hearts. I haven't listened to the radio in a long time, but from what I remember, at least 99 out of 10 songs are about misery. I repose my propensity, my burning, longing desire of my heart in finding pleasure in loving you. And now you've left me blue. Very difficult. And really, when these people sing, they really sing from their hearts. They're really crying. As they're singing, they're sometimes taking drugs, taking alcohol, because they're really suffering. We all need to be loved. These are the two fundamental principles. A little baby. And once, essentially, we never grow up. Because we have a nature. What does the baby want? The baby wants to be loved. The baby wants to show love somehow or other. Baby doesn't care about technology, the latest computer. This is all complicated human mind. The baby's essential nature is, I need to be loved, and I need to love. And as we grow up, we become more and more complex, complicated in the way we try to express it and receive it. But essentially, that is the nature of the soul. That is the nature of the conscious force that animates our life. We are the soul. Our nature is to love God, to love Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. It's the supreme reservoir of all pleasure. We are all longing to hear his flute call us back to his eternal pastimes. That's really the only desire of the soul. But we're looking for that satisfaction in so many diversions. And we become implicated and complicated in all this karma every time we look for any happiness outside of Krishna. And look at the karmic mess of the world today. Where is the peace? Therefore, Krishna tells in the 5th chapter of Gita, one who simply understands that I am the proprietor of everything that exists, that I am the ultimate object of enjoyment, and I'm the best, loving, well-wishing friend of all living beings, that person attains eternal peace. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give the supreme peace of love of God. There are some philosophers. They tell us, throughout the ages, they have been very prominent, that because of our desires and attachments to things that are temporary, we suffer. Therefore, we should annihilate all desire. Then we can achieve peace. This is Brahman realization. just the negation of attachments, desires, and this ego of I and mine, then there's shanti, peace. But there's something way beyond peace that the soul is longing for. The soul is longing for the dynamic, ecstatic experience of eternal love. Lord Chaitanya came to give us that through the name of God. Krishna's holy name can awaken that love within our heart if it is chanted without hypocrisy, with humility, and with sincerity. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has prayed, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvesha. Of all avatars, Lord Chaitanya is most magnanimous, most merciful, because he is giving this highest treasure of love of God to everyone and anyone. Therefore, what is real wealth? Real wealth is devotion. Because that devotion can purchase Krishna. To strive for that wealth is the ultimate aspiration. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered so many of his devotees in this spirit. One of them is Sharanga Thakur, whose disappearance day it is today. He was completely absorbed in Krishna Prema, immersed in loving service to Krishna. In Navadvip, there are 9 islands. One is Modadrumadvip. Within that island is a small village called Mamagachi. That was the residence of Saranga Thakur. Near the bank of the river Ganges, under a bakula tree, very old bakula tree, he would sit and pray. Pray for pure, unalloyed, loving service to Radha and Krishna. Practically day and night, he was immersed in chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. While he was chanting, in his pure state, he was absorbed in deep meditation on the Lord's mercy, on the Lord's pastimes, on the Lord's love. By God's grace, he had attained the highest state of spiritual perfection. For many years, he sat under that tree, chanting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested him, you should preach this message, you should make disciples, train them in bhakti, in the process of devotion. Now, do any of you have any idea what it's like to make disciples? It's not what you think it is. It's a difficult job to extend yourself and to deal with all these mayas and all these problems. And I mean, who would want to do that? Either an egomaniac or a fool. Or a person who is just trying to be an instrument, compassion, selflessly serving. So Saranga Thakur, he just would not accept disciples. For several reasons. One is the more advanced you become, the more humble you become. We read in the prayers of the great souls, none of them say, I am a self-realized Paramhamsa. They're all saying, I'm lower than the worm and stool. I'm the most fallen. I'm the most desperate. Please, Krishna, save me. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Patita pavana hetu tava avatara mosamo patita prabhu napai beara. This means, Lord Chaitanya, you have come to deliver the most fallen. Therefore, my claim is first. Because if you observe the whole creative energy, you will not find anyone more fallen than me. That is the nature of a pure soul. So Saranga Thakur did not feel himself qualified. But there was another reason. He was just so happy just sitting under that bakul tree, just chanting the holy names, absorbed in ecstatic love of God, that to extend himself, to go out and preach, and then to start dealing with disciples and all of that, just was a disturbance to his bhajan, to his worship. So he never said no to Lord Chaitanya. He simply never did it. We have all met people like this. They don't say no, and they don't say yes. They just don't do anything. So he was like that. So Lord Chaitanya, again and again, Saranga Thakur, I have descended into this world to deliver the fallen souls. Help me. To do that, you must accept disciples. Hare Krishna. Years went by. One day, Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip. And that was the time when Devananda Pandit, he was a jnani, and he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. But he was offensive toward devotees. He didn't believe in the eternal service of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya actually chastised him very strongly. And then the Lord was walking down the street, and he happened to see Saranga Thakur and reminded him, you should initiate disciples on my order. So he took that very seriously. He went back to the bakul tree. And actually Lord Chaitanya came to Mamgachi. Saranga Thakur was sitting and chanting under the bakul tree. It was in the summer. And the bakul tree actually died. There was no leaves, no flowers, no anything. So there was no shade. So that was difficult. But actually, he was chanting under that tree for so long, he loved that tree. He really loved the tree. The tree was rendering such good service by giving him shade. So you know what Lord Chaitanya did? He embraced the tree. And upon embracing the tree, right before Saranga Thakur's eyes, thousands and thousands of leaves and flowers began to grow on it. Came back to life. Whoever and whatever is dear to a devotee is assured to receive very special mercy of the Lord. This theme is throughout the scriptures. In Srivas Thakur's house, there was Abhishekam going on for Lord Chaitanya. You know the Mahaprakash Lila. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world how to be devotees. So he took the role of a devotee. And if anyone called him God, he would hold his ears and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Never call the living entity God. Because if you think you're God, you have no hope, you have no chance of the great treasure of loving devotion to Krishna. If you think you're God, you cannot realize the all-beautiful, all-opulent personality of Godhead, the source of all sweetness. But just to please the devotees, one day he sat on the throne of Vishnu, and he actually accepted his true role as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were performing Abhishekam, bathing him with water from Ganga. And who was in that assembly? Such great personalities.
There was a Dvaitacharya who's the avatar of Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. There was Gadadhar Pandit, who's Srimati Radharani. Srivas Thakur, who's Narada Muni. Such great persons, acharyas, scholars. They're all worshiping the Lord. And off in a solitary corner, there was one very poor maidservant, a lady. Her name was Duki. Duki means miserable, yes? Because she was born in a very poor family, and she was very poor, and she was just the maidservant of a maidservant. So she was given the name Duki because it was really a very miserable situation. She didn't want any notice or attention. She didn't even want to serve the Lord. She didn't feel herself qualified. What to speak of serve these great acharyas? She just wanted to serve the other maidservants. So she was getting pots of water from the Ganges and carrying it with great effort and lining it up very nicely so that the servants could give it to the devotees to bathe the Lord. And she was just again and again and again very quietly, inconspicuously, just getting water. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. She was really in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. Not for prestige, not for profit. Simply she wanted to please Krishna. That's all. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, is the Paramatma seated in everyone's heart. He knows our desires. There is one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I worship this purport. In one line, Srila Prabhupada speaks such a profound revelation of what life is about. Would you like to hear it? You don't sound very enthusiastic. Because the power of transcendental vibration has effect according to our receptivity. And our receptivity is dependent on our urgent need and enthusiasm to receive it. Yes, when Maharaj Parikshit was sitting down for those 7 days to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he wasn't falling asleep. He had 7 days to live. Every moment was so precious. His heart was so open. His ears were so enthusiastic. He had so many questions. Shukadeva Goswami, your enthusiasm to hear is making me enthusiastic to speak. And Sukadeva Goswami's enthusiasm to speak was making Pariksha Maharaj more enthusiastic to hear. And this was an ever-increasing cycle of enthusiasm. And it is that setting where transcendental grace of God actually takes place. The transmission of grace takes place where there's enthusiasm, where there's a sense of urgency. So, Duki. Duki was simply eager to serve. But Lord Chaitanya is in the heart. Now, Prabhupada explains that Krishna knows everyone's innermost desire. In this purport, he explains, Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. Everyone, let us repeat this. Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. He doesn't accept the thing. He accepts the aspiration, the purpose in which we offer it to him. Krishna doesn't need anything. He's the proprietor of all. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. Do you think he needs our donation? He's the strength of the strong. Does he think he needs our managerial skills? He's empowering Brahma to manage the entire universal creation. He's the seed-giving father and mother of every living entity. Do you think he needs us to create children? Krishna's Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. However, his eternal nature, which makes him all attractive, is his bhaktivatsal. He's always eager to give love and receive love. And love is based on the principle of free will. You can program a computer to do so many things, but however advanced computer technology becomes, it will never, ever, ever be able to program a computer to love. Maybe everything else, but not that. So God has not programmed us to love. He gives us the free. He has given us unlimited love, but he gives us the freedom to do what we want with it, either neglect it or express it. So Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. So this Duki, she only desired to be the servant of the servant of the servant and please the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya understood her motive. And while all these big, big acharyas, avatars, were worshipping him and singing Vedic mantras, Purusha Shukta, he was just watching Duki, the miserable one. He was so charmed, so pleased. He brought everyone in the entire assembly's attention only to her. She's just back there in rags. He asked Srivas, "Who is this?" He says, "This is Duki." Lord Chaitanya said, "This name Duki does not sit nicely in my heart. From this day on, she is Suki." And with those words, and with his merciful glance, he impregnated within her heart the ultimate revelation of Krishna Prema. And Suki just began to weep in ecstasy, trembling, hair standing on end. She attained the perfection of God, love of God, because of her sincerity, because of her purpose. Lord Chaitanya explained, he gave her that love of God because she was dear to Srivas Thakur. Because she was serving to Srivas Thakur and Srivas Thakur was affectionate toward her. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who is loved by my devotee will receive my mercy. So this Bakul tree was just an inanimate body with a living entity in it. But somehow or other, that Bakul tree was giving shade to Saranga Thakur when he was doing his bhajan. It was doing some service. And because Saranga Thakur loved that tree, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the tree back to life. And now the flowers of the tree were not just ordinary flowers. They were actually expressions of Krishna Prema. He gave the tree love of God. Harivo. Lord Chaitanya told Saranga Thakur, "You see what I did for your tree? Now you do this for others." You bring the sleeping souls back to life with the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya left. So, Saranga Thakur decided, out of love for the Lord, he would surrender to his will. So early in the morning, it was very dark, Brahma Muhurta hour, perhaps about 3:30 in the morning, he was walking to the river Ganga. And he decided, today, the first person I meet, I'm going to initiate. So as he was bathing in the Ganga, it was dark. Something bumped into him. Something bumped into his foot. So he looked over. It was the dead corpse of a little boy. What happened is in those days in Bengal, if a person was bitten by a serpent, they did not burn or bury the body. They would place the whole body in the Ganga to just go with the current. So this child was bitten by a serpent and died. The parents, they suffered a tragic loss. He was just a small child. So they placed the body in the Ganga. So Saranga Thakur took that little baby out of the water. This is the first person I'm meeting today. He promised, in his heart, he promised Lord Chaitanya he would initiate the first person he met. And this is who Lord Chaitanya sent him. So he chanted the Maha Mantra in the ear of the child. And by the touch of his foot and the hearing of the Maha Mantra, the child came back to life and fell at his feet, crying, and surrendered his life. He initiated him. This is very instructive. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jayomaya. That we are all sleeping on the lap of Maya. Sometimes Prabhupada said sleep is like death. Because really, when you're sleeping, when you're in deep sleep, the only difference between that and death is you just wake up in the same body. Death, you just wake up in a different body. Yes? That's the only difference. Every time you go to sleep, you're like you're dead. You don't know. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you are. Sometimes when you travel a lot, when you wake up in a dark room, you have no idea where you are. Have you ever had that experience? So many times. Just recently, I was in Dallas, Texas. I was up late night, and I woke up. It was dark in the morning, and I was wondering, where am I? Am I in Bombay? Am I in Mayapur? Am I in Vrindavan? I am in New Vrindavan? Am I in San Diego? Where am I? I really couldn't figure out where I was. And somehow or other, I didn't know where to go for the light either. To tell you the truth, I still don't know where I am. But when you fall into deep sleep, it's like death. You forget your identity. When what we call death is you just wake up in a different body. But if you don't die by those terms, you just wake up in the same body. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us, come out of this whole dream of the illusory energy. Wake up. You are the eternal soul. You have a relationship with Krishna. You're meant to enjoy ecstatic love and offer that to the world. Wake up! Wake up! That is his message. And how does he wake people up?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Through His name, His all-merciful, magnanimous name. So the spiritual master is actually waking us up from a dead spiritual state. When we forget Krishna, we're for all practical purposes spiritually dead. So what is initiation? Initiation is the spiritual master is giving us mantra that's waking us up to our eternal nature, waking us up to our eternal position. Now, you know, sometimes when you wake up, you're kind of groggy for some time. Well, that's kind of what we go through. We don't immediately. Takes time to be fully awake. But the process of awakening is initiation. So Saranga Thakur actually, by giving him Diksha Mantra, he brought him to life. That is the purpose of the spiritual master, to bring our souls back to life by giving us the name of God. And that little boy became so grateful. The news spread and ultimately reached the ears of his parents. They were overjoyed. They were going to get their son back. So somehow or other, they came all the way to Mamgachi and they said to their little boy, "Come home, come home, we're waiting for you." The little boy who was given the name Thakur Murari, little Murari said, "Actually, the body you gave me died. This body was given to me, this life was given to me by my spiritual master. Therefore, I am going to serve him for the rest of my life by helping him to spread the glories of the holy name." The parents accepted. Thakur Murari became one of the greatest preachers in history. He assisted his Guru Maharaj in bringing so many, many people to the path of pure love. That was Lord Chaitanya's magnanimous desire. We can understand in this concept, in this context, how dear Srila Prabhupada is to Lord Chaitanya. How much he gave up such a peaceful, simple life in Vrindavan to accept so many difficulties just to wake up sleeping souls. When he was 69 years old, he left Vrindavan. That's the age people go to Vrindavan to retire. Yes? Prabhupada was living in Radha Damodar Temple, the temple of Jiva Goswami. Just a few feet from the window of his kitchen was the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. Every day he was there in the association of the eternal associates of the Lord, in the very place of Krishna's Rasalila, Seva Kunj. What a wonderful life. Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that when he was living at Radha Damodar Temple, there was an old lady. She was something like Dukhi. Do you remember the story? My dear friend Krishna Kumar Prabhu, do you remember this story? Good, then I get to tell you. This old widow, utterly unknown to anybody, every morning early she would come with great effort with a bucket of water from the river Jamuna and just put it in front of the doors to the pujari room and the altar. And then she'd just disappear very quietly. And the pujaris would come out and see the water and use it to bathe the deities every day. Prabhupada said every day she was there. Just that little menial service. Years later, Prabhupada, who's the greatest Paramhamsa, world acharya, he's not talking about all the people in Vrindavan who are giving Bhagavad Kathas with thousands of people around them. He's talking about this one little widow who just Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirohaiti kitvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the standard of aspiration we should be striving for. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women or men to associate with for pleasures. I do not want fame or prestige or position or followers. I do not even want liberation. I only want unconditional service to you, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. That was the mood of this little widow. And therefore Prabhupada is glorifying her to the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada was living in that place of pure unalloyed devotion. And he left on the order of his Guru Maharaj. His Guru Maharaj ordered him and actually ordered all of his disciples to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He specifically told Prabhupada in English language, spread this message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And he kept that instruction as the ultimate aspiration of his life. Even living in Vrindavan, he was simply preparing for that. He left at 69 to Bombay. Who in the world would want to leave Vrindavan to go to Bombay? Usually people who want to make money. But he didn't want to make money. He was the wealthiest man in creation. He had love of God. Prem Nidhi. And he begged for passage on Jaladuta. When he got that ticket, he actually tells how he got the ticket. He actually was in Agra. He was doing some preaching program at a Mr. Agarwal's house. And Mr. Agarwal was complaining to Prabhupada about his son, Gopal. Should I tell you what he said? This is just quote-unquote. This is not me saying. This is Mr. Agarwal saying. He said, my son, he's in Maya. He went to America to go to college. Such a materialistic place. He went to America to go to college. And while he was in college, he was trapped by an American woman. And then he got married. And now he's living in America and he's eating meat and he's doing all things. So while he's revealing his heart to Prabhupada, Prabhupada just meditating on being an instrument of the Lord's compassion. Srila Prabhupada said, well, if your son's in America, have him send me an invitation for a visa. Have him sponsor me for a visa. Mr. Agarwal didn't say anything. Prabhupada said he didn't say a word. So Prabhupada just left it at that. A few months later, Prabhupada goes to Delhi and he gets a message that you have a sponsorship letter here for a visa. So then he goes to Bombay. And Sumati Murarji. Prabhupada said previously she bought a Bhagavad Gita from him. So that was the connection. I mean, what did he have to work with? He just saw a spark in someone's heart and wanted to fan it. Please give me passage to America. Actually, Prabhupada said, at first he wanted to go to London. But Sumati Mirarji finally gave him a ticket. And the boats didn't go to London, they went to New York. Prabhupada said, but actually New York is a better place anyway. So she gave him. He begged. He sat on the steps and told secretary, I will not get up, I will not eat until you give me ticket. Begging. Not for himself, but for us. And then he got the ticket. Had his passport, visa. He went to Calcutta. Prabhupada, he just defied all material laws of what was possible. Materially, everything was against him. Please listen carefully. He was going on 70 years old. He only had 40 rupees. He didn't know anyone in America who was willing to help him. He didn't know anyone. Just one stranger was just sponsoring him. I mean, what? Who in the world at that age is going to start a worldwide movement? It just made no sense. And Krishna, by his incredible creative ways of glorifying his devotee, he happened to arrange it that that Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta on Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th of August, 1965, Prabhupada was walking up the steps. And you think he had a big send-off? No. There was no important people, no spiritual personalities, because nobody thought he had a chance. There were five simple people who were there. There was Bhagavati. Does anyone know who Bhagavati is? We never will. There was Bhagavati. There was the Darwan of Skindia Steamship. Just one of the workers of Skindia Steamship. There was a Mr. Sain Gupta, a Mr. Ali, and Prabhupada's youngest son, Vrindavan Chandra. That was his send-off. The first Vaishnav to really be dispatched to America for the mission. That was the send-off. Nothing. And what did Prabhupada have? What was his possessions? He had an umbrella. He had one little bag with a change of clothes. And he had a bag of dry cereal because he didn't know if there would be food, vegetarian, in the West. That was it. And somewhere in the storage, there was some box of books. I asked his son, Vrindavan, because he comes to our temple from time to time. I said, what were you thinking when your father was walking up those steps on Friday the 13th to go to America to spread the holy name of God all over the world? Vrindavan told me, I was proud of my father. Prabhupada had complete faith. At 9 o'clock, he got on the Jaladuta. At 1:30, Friday the 13th of August, the Jaladuta began its journey. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It went around India, about 4 miles off the coast of Cochin, the boat stopped. It was Janmashtami. And Prabhupada gave a 1-hour lecture to the crew. And then he prepared some prasad and distributed it. The next day was his 70th birthday, Nandotsav.
on the 25th of August, while he was sailing in the Arabian Sea, there was great roughness. Actually, the next day, he began the journey on the 13th. On the 14th, he writes in his diary that he was suffering seasickness and no appetite. Immediately, his body was 70 years old. An ocean, steamship. First day, seasickness. On the 25th, for the next 7 days, he could not write a word in his diary. There's just a line, a jagged line. During those 7 days, he had 3 major heart attacks. There was no doctor. Nothing. Then he writes, I think on the 31st of August, he writes that I have passed through a life and death crisis. And Prabhupada told later that when he was suffering those heart attacks and it just appeared there was no possibility of his survival, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw Krishna in all of his forms, rowing the Jaladuta, rowing the boat. And then he knew for sure, Krishna's taking charge of this boat and he's taking charge of my journey. Sometime later, Srila Prabhupada reveals his heart. Separation from Vrindavan. He explains how he's feeling a little better now, but he's feeling very great separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham and missing so much his worshipable deities, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Radha Damodar, so far away. He explained, my only solace is the nectar of the Leela of Lord Chaitanya as I read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. My only solace. And then he writes, but I am coming here not for my own pleasure. I am coming here on the order of my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In his mission, to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya. So very far away from Vrindavan. What he sacrificed. And for who? We were discussing this morning. To sacrifice so much for a husband or wife. Even that's rare. To sacrifice so much for your own child or your own family or best friends. Sometimes it happens. But Prabhupada was making this unbelievable sacrifice for people he never met. He was making the sacrifice for you and for me. He wrote those beautiful prayers when the ship came to Boston Harbor, where he's just praying, Krishna, let me just be a dancing puppet in your hand. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, my Lord. How will I be able to convince them? The people of the West are so much immersed in the modes of passion and ignorance. How will they accept my message? It is only if you give me the words that it is possible. Prabhupada, in his utter humility, was simply completely depending with faith on the compassion of Krishna to flow through him to deliver the fallen souls.
Prabhupada explained to Brahmananda Prabhu when he came off the Jaladuta, he didn't know where to go. There was actually nobody there. He just walked off the ramp and just started walking. He had 40 rupees. Do you know what 40 rupees is worth in America in 1965? Not even one penny. Who in the world in 1965 wants a rupee? It was worth. He actually had nothing. And he said when he was walking in New York City, on the docks of New York, he was looking left and looking right. But he said, because I knew I had my books, because I knew I had the order of my spiritual master, and because I had faith in the holy name, I was confident. And then some stranger, just an employee for Traveler's Aid, came and welcomed him and put him on a Greyhound bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, who wants to go to Butler, Pennsylvania? Have any of you on your Christmas break gone to Butler, Pennsylvania? It's just not a very interesting place to start a worldwide movement. Butler, Pennsylvania is the place they invented the Jeep. I doubt if that fascinated Prabhupada very much. And there he was. There was really no scope to do anything there. He was a guest. He had to share a refrigerator with meat. Prabhupada was just studying the American culture. For him, Butler, Pennsylvania was just a place of learning. He was just always thinking of giving compassion to the world. In every situation, he was meditating on this merciful instruction of his guru. So he learned a lot about American habits, American psychology, American lifestyle, how Americans talk. And it was a culture shock for Prabhupada. Can you imagine 70-year-old saint from Vrindavan living alone? So he left for New York. Bowery. He was writing a commentary of Bhagavad Gita. The manuscript was stolen. His typewriter was stolen. His life was threatened. His godbrothers and friends in India were just telling him, "We can't help you. We can't help you." The most anyone did was send him some sweets or a mridanga. What? No help, no support, financially, manpower, anything. Because everyone thought it's impossible. But Prabhupada struggled alone. On Gaur Purnima, 1966, in March, Prabhupada writes in his diary, "In Vrindavan and in Navadvip, Mayapur, the devotees are having grand festival for the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. But I am here all alone without a single devotee within 10,000 miles. But I am very happy because this is the order of my spiritual master to give love of Krishna to the world." So when we hear about Sharanga Thakur and how he pleased Lord Chaitanya by his willingness to extend himself for the sake of others, we can understand the special quality of Prabhupada's love. Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm a gardener. I have so many fruits of love of God. I can't distribute them all myself. He was inviting all of his followers, for all generations, please help me give these fruits. Paradukaduki. Real happiness is in service. Accumulation does not satisfy the heart. Real happiness comes through what we do for others. For the body, the mind, and essentially the soul. Prabhupada explains in one purport, the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is not to defeat arguments in philosophy. The purpose of the Hare Krishna movement is to induce people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Because this mantra is the ultimate gift. Lord Chaitanya calls it the prime benediction for all humanity. Because this mantra awakens the greatest ultimate treasure that we are all longing for. Divine love. So we're so happy to be in this wonderful assembly tonight, in this auspicious place, on this very auspicious day, to share some spontaneous thoughts with all of you, since Dravida did not give me the book he was supposed to. Dravida Prabhu told me in the car, I want you to speak on this verse and I will give you the book. So I was all planning that. Yes.
It also said that whatever comes from your heart will be very sweet and much appreciated.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. Would anyone like to ask any questions? Dravida Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Please? That means I put you to sleep. Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, would you like to speak something?
When you have the moon, who needs a star?
You are the moon.
You
have Kanka Mataji, would you like to speak something?
I want to thank you for coming. You're so inspiring.
Mataji, you're so easy to inspire. Your heart is so soft with such love for Prabhupada and Krishna and all his devotees. Yes, Govardhan and Krishna Kumar, you have this experience with your mother? Now, if children say it, that really says a lot. Well, to be a mother and to give a child the inclination to serve and love Krishna is such a great, great service. There is no service greater than that. To be such a loving, devotional mother, to actually impel a child with the inspiration for Krishna consciousness, that is a very, very great service. Thank you very much. Would you like to have kirtan?
Yes.
Would you like sitting or dancing? Should we take vote? How many want to sit? How many wish to dance? Please dance. As you're chanting, please raise your arms, as Prabhupada taught us to dance.